Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch.
Have you ever been terrified? Have you ever been filled with fear, perhaps fear that you are about to lose your life? I had an experience once like that in an accident when I was broadsided by someone coming through a traffic light and spun around down the highway, briefly lost consciousness. And as I woke up, I realized I was pinned in the car and couldn't move. And it seemed like there was smoke coming out of the engine. And I was very afraid. But it all went fine, and I'm here today. But perhaps you've had some kind of experience like that. Or perhaps you've had an experience of fear that wasn't at all fear of the loss of your life. I wanted to read the story of the Lord's power and how he showed it to his disciples. And it's in the Gospel according to Mark. It's also in Matthew and Luke in the 8th chapter. Very, very similar retelling of this story. And I often think that because it's repeated in all three Gospels, it must be a very important story for us. When the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." This is the Sea of Galilee. They left the crowd behind, and they took him along in a boat, just as he was. There were also other boats with him. A wild storm came up. Waves crashed over the boat. It was about to sink. Jesus was in the back, sleeping on a cushion. His disciples woke him up. They said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and ordered the wind to stop. He said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith at all yet?" And they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Even the wind and the waves obey him. The Lord asks, "Why were you afraid?" And I often think about that when I am reading the stories of the children of Israel in the wilderness, when they ran out of food or when they ran out of water or they were being attacked by their enemies, and they became filled with fear and despair. And it's like all of the miracles that the Lord had done for them, all of the plagues that he'd sent upon Egypt, you know, all of the mighty way that he led them across the Red Sea were as nothing. They forgot. And I think that is in some ways a testimony to how powerful fear or worry or doubt or hopelessness or despair can be. In a way, it's like the evil spirits who are present with us and bring on all these states have this incredible power to make us think nothing else than that the worst possible thing is about to happen. And the Lord was asleep in the boat, sleeping in the back of the boat. And you know what that means. It doesn't mean that the Lord didn't know what was happening. It didn't mean that the Lord was actually mentally somewhere else, or that he was really, truly on a deeper level asleep. It meant that the disciples' perception of his presence and power were gone. It's as if he were asleep in the boat, and that contributed to their being able to be filled with power. And for us, sometimes it seems like the Lord is asleep. In fact, I think most of our lives, you know, except when we stop and remember, it's as if the Lord is asleep or isn't there at all. You know, we're just caught up in our job, our work, our families, our children, our relationships, paying the bills. There's all of the stuff that makes up this natural life, and we don't even think about the Lord until we do, until we really need him. Fear that filled the disciples enabled them to become aware that they really needed the Lord's help. And they were so amazed at what he did that the Gospels say they were terrified. They were terrified. Now, they were afraid before. They were afraid they were going to die. They were afraid they were going to drown. But the Gospel says they were terrified. And they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The disciples were full of fear because the storm was great and the Lord was asleep. And after the storm was over, after the Lord stilled the waves and stopped the wind, it seems their fear was even greater. And we can think about why they were afraid in the first place. They were being overwhelmed by the storm. They thought perhaps they were going to drown. But what about the fear afterwards? What were they exceedingly fearful and terrified about? The word sometimes talks about holy fear. And I think a lot of times we struggle to really understand what that is all about. We read again and again things like, "I will fear you, O Lord." And yet the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid of him. And I think when the disciples saw the Lord do this miracle, it wasn't that they were afraid of him, but they were shaken, trembling in his presence. "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And, you know, to the extent that we can feel that, experience it once in a while in our lives, that we feel the Lord having done what we couldn't possibly do for ourselves, that's a gift we carry with us. And it can help us to get through future hard times and trials. They were afraid, not of the Lord, but of his power. I think perhaps the comparison between their own puniness. Now, like when you look up into the sky and with knowledge from science, you realize what you're actually looking at and that the light that you're seeing has traveled for billions of years to get to where you are now, some of it. So you're actually looking back into a future, into the past. You're looking way back into the past, that light that you see. And that can be awe-inspiring. But when we see the power of the Lord actually exhibited in our lives, having experienced that power is holy fear, and it can actually help us through the hard times, help us through the trials, help us to get over the struggles to do what is right and wrong, because we don't want to offend this God whose love is so great. And did the disciples ever fear again? Yes, indeed. The disciples did fear again. When the Lord was taken captive on the night before he was crucified, on Good Friday, the Lord was taken captive and hauled away, and we read that the disciples forsake him and fled. We read that Peter stood up three times denying he even knew the man. So, yes, fear will come back. And no matter how powerful the miracle of saving you in one trial, you will experience it again. I wanted us to read Psalm number 113, just the first part of it. Because the Lord wants to save us from a lot more than drowning. And the psalmist talks about some of those things. This is a psalm for the director of music, and it's a psalm or a song of David. How long will you forget me, Lord? How long will you hide from me? Forever? How long must I feel sad in my heart? How long will my enemy win over me? How long? Lord, look at me. Answer me, my God. Tell me, or I will die. Otherwise, my enemy will say, I have won. Those against me will rejoice that I have been defeated. And there's all these things like worry, feeling like we've been forgotten, feeling like we will never be in the Lord's presence again. So we think about fear, and certainly when your life is in danger, your body reacts with fear. You get all this adrenaline. You go rushing away as fast as you can from the danger. But what about the fear that you have on a higher level, either while you're in the middle of that experience, or perhaps in the experience of paying your taxes or trying week after week or month after month to get a job after you've lost your job, or knowing that you have all these bills that you can't possibly pay, or knowing that somebody you love and depend on is critically ill. It's a different level of fear, isn't it? It's a different level of fear, and it sometimes can overwhelm us and cause us to be so obsessed with these thoughts that come into our heads. You know, it's not that I'm afraid of dying. It's I'm afraid that I'm leaving my children. It's not that I'm afraid of not having any money to get me through my old age. It's knowing that my wife or my husband is going to suffer because of this. You know, these thoughts come into our heads. When we get through the trial, we experience the joy of salvation. And that's also expressed in the words of the psalm, the second part, verses 5 and 6. I trust in your love. My heart is happy because you saved me. I sing to the Lord because he has taken care of us. And in a way, those few words encapsulate the blessings that come after trials. And I find this psalm interesting because it starts out with these verses about despair and worry and fear and the Lord is gone from me. And then it makes this abrupt shift. It makes this abrupt shift. I trust in your love. My heart is happy. And I think sometimes there isn't a clear reason why, but we go into these states where we're overwhelmed, and then miraculously we start to remember the Lord is caring for us. And it's like we all of a sudden can make this wonderful shift. So the sea that threatened to drown them and swamp their boat and sink them is a parable. It's a symbol of the hells. All of the bad thoughts we have, all of the worry, all of the fear, even when we think it's totally reasonable. I mean, it's totally reasonable to be filled with worry and fear when you have all these bills and you lose your job. I mean, it's just totally reasonable. And if your faith is in this God who has the power that the Lord had to still the wind and the waves, then you can say, but I wonder what the Lord has in store for me through all of this. Now let's read True Christian Religion number 123. Redemption, and that means to be saved. The Lord saves us. Redemption was something only the divine could bring about. If you knew what hell is like, and you knew how high it swelled and how it flooded the entire world of spirits at the time of the Lord's coming, and you saw the great power with which the Lord cast hell down and scattered it and then restructured both it and heaven in accordance with the divine design, you could not help being stunned and exclaiming that all of it was something only the Lord could do. The passage goes on to say, the last judgment and redemption can be compared to resisting the whole ocean after dikes have broken and waves are pounding cities and the countryside. In fact, when the Lord controls the sea by saying, peace be still, in Mark and Matthew and Luke, it means the Lord's process of gaining control over the hells. So this miracle that happened with the Lord and his disciples is actually a little picture of why the Lord was here and what was happening during those last months of his life when he was preparing himself to be crucified, to be taken prisoner, and to rise again on the third day. And the disciples didn't see it. And mostly when we read the stories, we don't see it, but the Lord was actually taking control of an evil force that had become so great in the spiritual world that it was actually flooding into the lower heavens. And it meant that the Lord's light, you know, the light that helps us see the way and see the truth and know the right thing, that light was being blocked off in the spiritual world. And that's part of why the Lord came. And this parable is a little picture of that. And I don't know if some of you, a number of years ago now, saw the pictures on television of the tsunami that swept through Japan. Incredible, incredible destruction. Incredible destruction. And to me, that, even more than being out in a storm at sea, is a picture of the power that sometimes the hells have. It's also a power of the great miracle that the Lord is working on every day in our lives. Because again and again, the hells are like that powerful sea threatening to swamp our boat. And a boat is like a symbol of everything we trust in and believe. We hope that life is going to be good. We hope that God is going to take care of us. And the hells, like the sea sweeping in over the land and destroying everything in its path, seem to be able to do that to us. And the miracle is telling us that the Lord isn't asleep, that we aren't alone, that there is hope, and He is taking care of us. On Easter, the Lord and His disciples would experience the results of having gone through that trial, experience a joy at knowing the power of the Lord to raise Himself from the grave, but more than that, even to completely reorder heaven and hell so that He could be with us today. The Lord who made everything came into the world. And He came into the world to show us that He loves us, that He has power we can't even imagine. And even though at times it might seem we are alone, we are never alone. And even when it might seem that the Lord is asleep, He is always caring for us and always keeping us safe. Amen.